We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I want to give a big hi to all of our Wave Church campuses. And obviously, we've been navigating this COVID-19 season, not being able to have services like we normally have. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to getting back together in God's house. You know, church is not a building, it's people. And yet there's still biblical sanity and wisdom to the idea of God's people gathering for praise and worship and iron sharpening iron. Two are better than one. And we're certainly doing everything we need to do to keep everybody safe. But I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to getting back together in our different campuses. And with that in mind, we've done everything we can to help our local campus pastors still be speaking on a weekly basis to you individually, and then also trying to produce some really amazing online services. So a big shout out to our media and production team. We could not do it without them. We're so glad you're watching today. And today is the first Sunday of the month. It's a chance for me to speak to everybody. I get a chance to be dad. Well, I want to talk to you about lessons, God lessons in a cave. Could God and does God work in darkness? There's a lot of people saying, where's God in all this? And a lot of people asking questions of, you know, where do I find peace and how do I get peace? And I want to show you something in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now watch this. It says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And listen, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I love the thought that in the beginning, God, not Darwin's theory of evolution, not some celebrity, not some personality, not some, you know, iconic figure of someone in history, but in the beginning, God, not an explosion, not a Big Bang theory, God. And it says he created the heavens and the earth. But look what he had to work with. It says the earth was dark, empty, formless, void. Another word actually uses this word of it was in chaos. And so the question is, God, the statement is, God can make something out of nothing. Everything of which we live in this world was created by God. In the beginning, God created. So God had nothing to work with, darkness, emptiness, and yet look at all of creation that he made with nothing. I love that thought. And God does his best work in dark places. You know, people are struggling with all sorts of uncertainty right now with all the COVID-19. Their families have got cabin fever. There's the economic forecast and how will we recover from this? And there's job security. There's all sorts of challenges of concerns about loved ones and their health and the spreading and the containing of this virus. And I want to show you how God works in dark places, because I want to tell you, God is right in the middle of all this. I actually think he's up to something. Let me show you. I've got this time-lapse footage of a butterfly and the process of a butterfly and how a butterfly is created. Now, remember, in the beginning, God created. And we know that God created the butterfly. And look at the process of a butterfly, the metamorphosis of a butterfly. First, there's the egg. And the butterfly lays an egg on a leaf, which, by the way, becomes later the caterpillar's food source. And then there's the caterpillar. And the caterpillar is an eating machine. It increases its body mass thousands of times. And then it molts several times as they outgrow their exoskeleton. And every time they do, their appearance changes. God made this out of nothing. And then, of course, from there, we have what's called the chrysalis, which makes a silk mat, which spins a string of silk around its body and attaches the strings to the branch. The same way a telephone lineman uses a leather belt to attach himself to a pole. Isn't it amazing that God created all of this out of nothing? And God can do something out of nothing. And then we have what's known as the adult butterfly. And then when a butterfly emerges from a chrysalis, its wings are all crumpled. The butterfly will hang its wings down and begin pumping the wings to fill it full of fluids. And then as it gets stronger and as it hardens, then it's able to fly away and be a butterfly. You would agree with me. A butterfly is a beautiful creature that God created, and he did it all out of nothing. And then I'm thinking about mankind, and I'm thinking about God made you and he made me in Genesis 1. Look what it says here in verse 26 and verse 28. In verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Again, notice that God is not alone, that God said, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. I say amen to that. The birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. And so here's what God did. God made you and I out of nothing, out of the darkness. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was dark, empty, formless, void, chaos, and God did it. And let me show you what this looks like, because David in the Psalms talks about this. And listen to what he says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I were to go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, listen to this, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Listen to this, talking about in the beginning, God made everything out of nothing. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For the night will shine like the day, and the darkness is a light to you. For you created, listen to David, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I know I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame, listen to this, David getting a revelation that God made us out of nothing, out of the dust of the ground. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes seen my unformed body, and all the days were ordained for me, and every day was written in your book before one of them came to be. How amazing is this psalmist that he's giving us an insight and an understanding that God in the beginning created, and he said, let us make man in our image. Can I tell you, God does his best work at times when it looks like there's nothing to work with. There's nothing going on. There's no hope. There's emptiness. There's chaos. There's uncertainty. Can I tell you, I believe God is up to something. And listen now, because I want to just show you just from the Hebrew what these verses look like. It says in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. Actually, in the Hebrew, he says, you created my kidneys. An ancient Israelite culture, the kidneys in ancient Israelite culture, the kidneys were considered to be the seat of human emotions. And so think about this, in the way that we speak about the heart, they would have spoken about the kidneys. And so in David, as he's writing this, he goes, you created my heart. He says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God was there in your mother's womb, in darkness. Didn't look like anything was happening, but God was there. And look at verse 14. Catch this now. All of our campuses, I want you to catch it. It says, and that my soul knows very well. David's saying, I know it. And the Hebrew word here implies a deep personal level of knowledge. The same word is to describe when a person is sexually active with another individual. This means that David, what he knew was not borrowed, a borrowed revelation. He had a deep personal understanding and a revelation of what he was saying. I know it intimately, deeply personal. God, you were there in my mother's womb. And look at verse 15. It says, my skeleton was not hidden from you in Hebrew. I was made in the hidden place. I was intricately embroidered, it says, in the depths of the earth. I want you to catch this, because the meaning This word deeply is descriptive of the original language. It would have given the Hebrews the idea of a weaver sitting at a loom, and watch this, making a piece of high quality fabric out of what seemed to be just a nothing pile of thread. And all the verbs describing God's creative actions are intensive actions. All this means that God is fully and aggressively engaged in his creation. He was there in the midst of it all. And all these verbs are attributed to human action that are actually, there are passive actions. In other words, this means that they are actions that happen, listen to this, to us, and we can't claim any credit for it. In other words, they're entirely outside the realm of our ability, and we have no part, listen to this, in our creation or our formation. Here's the thought. If God can do all that in darkness, in emptiness, if God can do all that when it looks like nothing's happening, it's empty, it's chaos, what can he do with you and I? Here's a great scripture in Isaiah. And this is God speaking to his people. He says, come, my people, enter your chambers, shut your doors behind you, hide yourself, as it were, watch this, for a little moment until indignation has passed. I want you to know, number one, this is going to pass. We're going to get through this. And right now we're needing to do that, entering our chambers, shutting our doors, hiding ourselves, but don't become a hermit. Don't be somebody who thinks I don't need other people and learn some new habits that you need to unlearn as we come out of this in Jesus' name. And so I want to share with you some mistakes I see people make in isolation. Number one, and I'm thinking about different people in the Bible, if you're not careful, you can think you're all alone because you're in isolation. And Elijah said in 1 Kings 18, verse 22, he said to them, I said to the Lord, I'm the only one left of the Lord's prophet. And he goes, but Baal has 450 prophets. You know, in that moment, Elijah felt outnumbered. He felt like, he was by himself. I'm the only one. And there's a mistake of actually thinking you're alone. And I want to say heaven is on your side. There's a great story of a prophet in the Old Testament and how he prayed that God would open the eyes of the servant because he came running in saying there's an army against us. And he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. I'm praying in this season of isolation and of separation that God will open our eyes, that he has a whole remnant that hasn't bowed. And then, of course, when God opened the servant's eyes saw the host of heaven that surrounded that army. And even though in the natural, in the three-dimensional world that we live in, it looked like they were outnumbered. But can I tell you, heaven is on your side. I pray God opens your eyes. I pray God opens my eyes afresh to the grandstand of heaven. And I want to tell you, you are not alone. The second mistake I think people can make in isolation is you can think you don't need other people. Some people say God is all you need. Yet God himself said, I'm not all you need. I'm not enough. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Two are better than one. We need each other. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two shall put 10,000. And the Bible also says, Proverbs 11, verse 14, and this is a big verse for isolation. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Can I tell you, number two, don't think that you don't need others. Don't think like that, because I want to tell you, we need to make sure we live in the multitude of counsel. Number three, if you're not careful, your thoughts can run away with you. If you're just listening to the news and getting all the updates of what's happening around the world and the pandemic and the stock market and what's happening in North Korea and what's happening in Iran and what's happening in China and what's happening right here in the United States and the economic meltdown, can I tell you something? Your thoughts can run away with you. You can start getting overwhelmed and you can feel like this is a losing battle. And the Bible says that men's hearts will fail them because of fear. But I want to say to you, don't let your thoughts run away with you. Don't let that mistake of just getting too concentrating and too focused on all the details of what's happening in today. But I want to say this. The Bible says, Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I love this thought in Romans. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And can I tell you, when you allow your thoughts to run away with you, this gives birth to negative emotions. And Elijah was in the wilderness. Remember that prophet who thought he was the only one left? And then he left his servant. He isolated himself even from his servant. And then he went into the wilderness. Can I tell you, when your thoughts get away with you, you can find yourself in a wilderness moment. And all sorts of negative emotions will surface. And the Bible tells us that Elijah got depressed. He even got suicidal. And I want to say to you, don't make that mistake of actually allowing your thoughts to run away with you. Finally, the fourth mistake I think people can make is simply this. Your world shrinks. When little things start to bother you, it's a sign your world's shrinking. We can, if we're not careful, we were never meant to live in the cocoon forever. We were called to come out of the cocoon. We were called to allow there to be a metamorphosis, to be a change, a transformation. And lastly, because there was a finally, now there's a lastly, you underestimate the impact of your decisions. Can I just tell you, the Bible says in the history of King David, that great man that wrote that great psalm that we've read just a little while ago, that it was a time when kings go to war. But David in that moment did not go to be the king at war. He should have been with his brothers. He made a mistake in isolating himself and staying at home. The consequence of that decision, seemingly small, I'll just sit this war out, led him into committing adultery and into committing murder. It actually cost him a lot in the long run. The Bible does say David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible does say that David served his generation by the will of God, and yet there were certain things that God would not allow David to do as a result of that consequence and that decision. Can I just encourage you as I finish out this message today to talk to you about somebody who I think is the greatest lesson of all, and that is Joseph. Without a doubt, one of the best lessons I can think of from Scripture about God lessons in dark places and how God can, if He can make this whole world out of nothing, what can He do with you and I who've yielded our lives to Him, who are open to His calling? God put a dream in Joseph that one day he would be a leader in the world. He would be a mover. He'd be a shaker. I got to tell you, that spoke well. That sat well to Joseph. The only thing Joseph didn't know, for him to become that leader, God had to allow him to go through a whole bunch of dark places to become the caliber and the character of leader that God was looking for to trust with that kind of influence. Of course, we know he goes around telling his brothers, I got this dream. I'm going to be a leader. You'll bow to me. He even told his father. And his own father said, hey, Joseph, you know, come on, man, pull your head in. Who do you think you are? And then, of course, the sun and the moon and the stars, it was all going to bow. Little did Joseph know that the wonder of that dream would be the only thing that would sustain him through the dark places. You got to think about it. First, his brothers actually hated him so much. They despised him. Isn't it funny how sometimes even those who are closest to us don't always understand the dream that God puts in their heart. And they decide they're going to put him in a pit and kill him. And then one of the brothers kind of finally said, no, let's sell him off as a slave. Here comes a slave trading caravan. Let's get some money out of this and let's profit from it. And just tell dad he died. And Joseph ends up being sold off as a slave. And even there, the wonder of this dream sustained him through the dark place. The first dark place is the betrayal of his own siblings. The second dark place is being put in a pit. And now he's been sold off as a slave. Think about that. Joseph went through some pretty hard times. And you know what? The Bible says that Joseph so acted like a dream that he would be a leader that he created, listen to this, a demand for his leadership. He was so good and so excellent, so filled with the wonder of the dream that even though you may enslave him, you couldn't enslave his dream. And then Joseph goes through the test of his character because Potiphar's wife, who he worked for, Potiphar, wanted to actually have an affair with him. She found him young and attractive, and clearly Potiphar was no longer lighting it up for Potiphar's wife. And so Joseph's character was tested. And now he's accused of trying to rape her, something he didn't do. He ran from the temptation. And then that's a false accusation. And now he's in prison. And in prison, you couldn't imprison his dream. Listen to it. God lessons in a dark place. He was in that prison for years. One day he interpreted two people's dreams and he told the one they gave good news to, remember me when you get out, but he didn't. So think about this, a pet, I want you to think about it, betrayal of his siblings, there was slavery, there was false accusation, there was prison, and then he was forgotten, and now the Pharaoh has a dream. I don't understand what my dream is. And the man that Joseph interpreted the dream well for said, I know a man who can interpret dreams. And Joseph went from the prison to the palace and became second only to Pharaoh, a leader of the known world. How did he do it? He saw that God was at work in dark places. He finally met up again with his brothers who came begging for food. They were bowing before him just like the dream. And they realized, we're dead. He'll kill us. And he said to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can I tell you, there's a God lesson in the dark place. And I just think about this. Don't let people, your brothers, those who don't understand you, steal your dream. Don't let life, bad things happen to good people sometimes. Don't wonder, where is God? Don't let life steal your dream. And then finally, don't let time steal your dream. There is a God lesson for each and every one of us in these dark places. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was dark, formless, void, empty, and chaos. And in this season, can I tell you something? Let's be the people who've got the spirit of Joseph. Keep the dream alive. Let's know what David knew, that you were there in my mother's womb, that you created me. I had no say in that. You were at work. And I thank you, Lord, that every day of my life, before one of them comes to pass, you've already known about it. Let me talk to you for a moment now as I think about the dream that God has for your life. Without a doubt, God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. Plans to bless you, not to harm you, and plans to prosper you. I want to ask you right now, look at me. Do you know Jesus? In every single house, however you're watching, on every computer, on every electronic device, please look at me right now. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ? Can I tell you that God was there in your mother's womb? You are not a mistake. You are predestined, preordained by God Himself with a plan and a purpose. And I believe right now, here today, watching this online service, you can have a God lesson in the middle of everything that's happening. I want to ask you, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? I want to pray for you today. If you say, Steve, I don't know God as you speak of. Steve, I once prayed a prayer, but I'm not living for God like I once was. I want to get right with God. I want to come back to God. Come on, why don't you pray this prayer? Come on, church, I want you to lean in faith. Right now, we're not in an auditorium. We're in our homes, wherever we are watching. But everybody, please lean in. Father, you say this prayer with me. Everybody who wants to ask Jesus, everybody who wants to get right with God. Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. And I thank you, Jesus, that you love me and you have good plans for my life. I ask you to come into my life to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. Right now, I am a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.